Okay, Rav Oisai. Today's shiur is shiur number 25, and Bez Hashem, it'll be the final shiur for the season. Interesting enough that I want to give credit to a young lady who participates in the shiur, Miss Esti Shafran, for bringing to our attention that today is the yahrzeit of Rav Chaim Volozhin. What I should protest that the final shiur that we have in Ruach Chaim falls out Yudalud Nissan, which is the yahrzeit of Rav Chaim Volozhin. So it's an amazing Shgocha Protis, and it's a perfect way to finalize the shiur on the Sefer Ruach Chaim. Rav Chaim, during the last years of his life, I'll take a few moments, being that this is the yahrzeit, that is the final shiur regarding Rav Chaim Volozhin, just to bring some more interesting notes regarding Rav Chaim Volozhin. Lemaisa, during the last year of his life, he was almost inconsistently in constant agony from a whole host of various different machlis, different types of afflictions. And the way that he was able to persevere, you know, in the face of all the different suffering, that basically testifies to a lifetime of preparation for the test. Chaim lived his life all the time in order to be able, when situations of great nishayness come his way, he'll be able to endure it and be able to deal with it properly. But Berach Klal, throughout his life, Chaim basically did not give much effort for the needs, so to speak, the needs and the pleasures of the body. The body was merely a tool to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that was not something that he was really interesting in focusing on. And the pain which he now had to live through, the last years of his life, concerned him less. It's not the pain that bothered him. That as a result of the pain, he was forced for the first time in his life to pay a lot of attention to his body. He had to go to doctors and so on and so forth. Now he's busy with his body. So it's not really the pain itself that concerned him. His idea that as a result of the situations and the various afflictions, so now, Peshit, he had to deal with something that throughout his life that was not really something that he focused on, but he had no choice. And this was the situation. And the privacy of his room, with his only son, which is Rabitzel, present, would occasionally shed a tear. Chaim would shed a tear over the time now given over to his physical needs, that he has to spend so much time. All his life he was busy mainly in the Ruchnius, and now a great amount of time has to push it be to take care of his physical needs. And he said, interesting, for the last years of his life, he says, when a person was going to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, we would hope that maybe he would have even more time to dedicate himself more to Ruchnius. And yet this is the situation, the way he finds himself, that now he has to pay a lot of attention to his physical needs. But the pain itself was Mamash Yisurim Shalahava. Never complained. He accepted totally with love and even rejoicing at the fact that of the decrease of physical pleasure of this world. Because that was something he was totally not interested in. And Reb Chaim was reported to have said, I would never have thought, he said, that all the afflictions, he says, all the affliction, in other words, Chaim said, I would never be looking for Yisar. It's a Gavali Nisyonis Yisurim Shalahava. So I would not be mispalta Kishbohu, give me Yisurim to be able to pass the test. I would not be mispalta for that. But he wants you to know that now that I already am suffering greatly, I would not sell the schar of all the suffering for any money in the world. And now when a person does have to go through nisyonis, and you're able to go through it, the nisyonis, with proper bitachon, proper munah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's really something which is mentioned in Sefer Chassidus, but the truth is Reb Chaim said the same thing, which like many things, they coincide. Because the Gemara uses a lashon in brachas, lohein v'loy schoron. Lohein means to say is, according to the Chassidish interpretation, lohein, I'm not looking for yisurim. But v'loy schoron, the yisurim that I already have, I will not sell for any money in the world. Because it's a tremendous, tremendous madrega and schar that a person goes through, the nisyonis that he has to go through. 2 days before, mommy, just 2 days before his patira. Actually, 2 days before his patira, he gave, as he always did, he was still busy and bothered giving a psak aloha. Mommy, just 2 days before his patira, he gave a psak aloha, and that was that the aniyim of Eretz Yisrael, the psak aloha was 2 days before his patira, that the aniyim of Eretz Yisrael have the same halachic status of aniya ircha. We know the halacha is when it comes to tzedakah, that aniya ircha, the needy of your own town, have a din kedima over giving tzedakah to other areas. First, take care of your own. Ani Ircha have a din kedima. Reb Chaim Paskin that a nima of Eretz Yisrael have the same din of Ani Ircha, the fact that it's Eretz Yisrael. And that sack he gave just 2 days before his patira. And the interesting is, again, we're talking about 2 days before he passed away, the fact that he signed this psak with his own hand 2 days before his patira testifies to how much importance that he had attached to this matter, to this psak. Why am I mentioning this? Because there was another tshuva that he also wrote just when he's about on his deathbed. Was another tshuva, and there the signature is not his own, it's his son. His son signs, and his son writes, Rabbi Itzel signs. He says, Ani, I'm the one who signs. Ani Achosem, I'm the one who signs, right, at the order of his father, the Goyim. In other words, he signs B'Shem his father. That was the other psak. But this particular psak, that Ani Eretz Yisrael, Avadin like Ani Ircha, he did not give it over to his son to sign, but he tried as much as possible with all the strength that he had that he would sign that, this particular psak. And regarding, by the way, what we just mentioned, regarding the tshuva concerning the nidi, the aniyim of Eretz Yisrael, Reb Chaim writes the following. So you don't have to accept my opinion, Chaim said. You don't have to accept, he said, my opinion, especially, listen what he writes, especially now when my hand and leg have been amputated, he writes. Now, I'm not sure if he means amputated mamish, or he means poshut that it's not functional. I'm not sure exactly what he means, but that's the way it's written. He says, you don't have to accept my opinion, especially given at a time when my health is at such a situation where my hand and leg have been amputated and my body and my mind, he says, no longer function as they should due to a lack of strength. Mi'akodesh Baruch Hu, have rachmanis, he says, to return me to my full strength. He's still being mispalel. Mamish has his deathbed. Didn't give up hope. Still being mispalel. Kishvach should restore him to give him back his full health. But again, despite his state as he was in, did not hold him back. Did not refrain from, again, issuing piskei dinim that he felt was important. When the news of Reb Chaim's critical condition spread, you can imagine that Jews all over, they gathered commuters throughout Eastern Europe in order to be mispalel, clearly to pour out their hearts. After all, it's the Gadol HaDor, the leader of the generation, needs to trend this Yeshua Refu Shleima, but it was not meant to be, to no avail. And interesting is that even as he hovered between life and death, Ramish, the last moments, while Reb Chaim was still hovering to life and death, he didn't for a minute lose sight that his life's mission is to spread Torah. And in his final moments, he actually gave the last instructions he gave to his son. This is something he mentioned a few weeks ago. The final instructions, Mami's final instructions that he gave to his son. The final moments, he repeatedly says, there were two subjects. He enjoined his son regarding with respect to two subjects. And that is number one, the necessity, make sure to maintain the yeshiva lojan, the mother yeshiva. Make sure that you continue after I'm gone. And the second thing of publishing Nefesh HaChaim with all possible dispatch to see that it's published as soon as possible. These are the two things. These are the two things that Reb Chaim left him. And when he gave those instructions, his voice was barely audible. He could hardly hear it. But his expression left no doubt of the importance that he is certainly attached to these various matters. People, of course, when they pass away, before they pass away, they write wills. Of course, your financial situations, people like wills, and how they want their monies to be distributed. Also, many people, not only Gedol Yisrael, you have Yidden, not even Rabbanim Davke. Part of the will would also be leaving over what's called ethical wills. That is certain guidelines of Musar, how you expect that your children should continue, follow the Messiah, and so on. Reb Chaim didn't feel it was necessary to write an ethical will. He said, if you want to write an ethical will, it's enough just writing the Ten Commandments. He says, that says it all. He says, you have to write the details, this and that. So just write the Aseret HaDibros, that would take care of everything. And as far, he said, as many times a person leaves over, that after his death, his children should disseminate a certain amount of money for charity, for tzedakah, right? I'm leaving kach v'kach tzedakah. Reb Chaim felt, why give your children or rely on the children to give tzedakah on your behalf? Give it while you're alive. Whatever you want to give, he said, give it while you're alive. And he pointed out, because when you're alive, It has a totally different schus than we give him after your death, he says. Even though there's schusim, of course there's schusim. He pointed out that the Vilna Goy stressed that all, he says, all the advantages of Olam Haba, all the advantages of Olam Haba cannot compare to one moment of this world to have the opportunity to be Mekayim Torah Mitzvahs. Because in Olam Haba you cannot do Torah Mitzvahs anymore. Whatever you've accomplished, that's what you take with you. It's like preparing a suitcase, you know. You prepare more, you have more. Less is less. The Goyim, before he died, as you know, he cried very bitterly. He took his pair of tzitzis in his hand. He said, these pair of tzitzis, he says, on this world, he says, you can buy it for $10 or something. In the next world, for $1 million, for all the money in the world, he says, you'll not be able to acquire the mitzvah of tzitzis, or any mitzvah for that matter. So therefore, Reb Chaim would say, so if you want to leave tzedakah, see, try to be yotzei yourself. Try to do it yourself, rather than relying on others to do it for you. And here is interesting, just as Kedai, just to read for you, which is Bemis, no less than an awesome account of Reb Chaim's last hours, which is written by his son, Reb Itzel. We did not leave his side, by the way. Did not leave Reb Chaim's father's side until the moment came. Reb Itzel writes, whoever did not see his strength and his humility, whoever did not see his strength and his humility on the day that he was taken from us, never saw strength and humility in his life. From the morning Shachris that he damned until the moment of Yitzis Neshama, the departure of his Neshama, his strength mamish changed from moment to moment. In other words, you really didn't know what happened. In one moment, it appeared that his mamish, he's so weak that this is Yitzis Neshama, and then all of a sudden, an extra surge of strength came upon him. So his whole matzav kept changing from minute to minute, as he says. And he says, the next moment he would gather strength in such an awesome cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, and his face would shine like a malach. So writes Reb Itzel. His face would shine like a malach, a living angel, as he purified his neshama in devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave it purity when he gave the neshama. L'kai neshama shenasata b'toyri. So what the Avodah Sodom is, when it comes time to return it in the same way that was given. Not an easy thing, right? To return it in the same way that was given. That was Reb Chaim, right? Getting ready to return his neshama with the same level of purity that was given to him to return it to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So until the end, writes Reb Itzel, his neshama was gathered, connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu with a kiss, like a mitzvah neshika, being totally connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I want to mention that when Reb Chaim was nifter, Reb Chaim was nifter, so the Ptira passed, it spread very rapidly. It spread very rapidly throughout the Jewish world. Everywhere where news reached, there were tears of Avelis. There was a sense of bereavement, of a terrible loss, mourning, and suffering for the whole Jewish people, for all of Klal Yisrael. The greatest Gedol Ador, the greatest Chacham in each city, in each town, right, would give a hesped, would eulogize the Gedol Ador, the past of the generation. And basically running through the hespedim with two main points regarding Reb Chaim. Number one, he himself was a ish, was sholem b'Torah, a person who was a complete man of Torah, and second of all, who gave his body and his shomer for the glory of Torah, for the covet of Torah, and to point out that he was the Gedol Ador. This is what everyone would point out, that the world lost the greatest person of the generation. And there is a sefer that's called River of Tears. The sefer is called River of Tears, written by a great goyin of the time, the name is Reb Shaul Katzenelnbogen. Reb Shaul Katzenelnbogen, basically the whole sefer is a hesped. Sometimes in there you have a hesped in a sefer. Here you have a whole sefer, which is a hesped, which is a eulogy on Reb Chaim. It's called River of Tears, and he writes the following. He says, woe to the world that lost its leader, woe to the ship that lost its captain. What are these two titles? What are the difference? Woe to the world that lost its captain, woe to the ship that lost, woe to the world lost its leader, woe to the ship that lost its captain. So he points out the difference, but that's a Gemara that's said by Avraham Avinu was Nifter. The Gemara talks about Oilam that lost its manik, and Oila Sfino, the ship that lost its carbonita, that lost its captain. So he said the following. When you talk about, he says, the first, the world that lost its leader, that talks about the leadership of Reb Chaim had influence all over. Now that he passed away, the world lost a leader. Talking about woes to the ship that lost its captain, that's referring to how Reb Chaim would swim, where the boat's white coat floats, how Reb Chaim would swim right in the Yama Talmud. Rabbi Chaim would swim in the Yam HaTalmud, in whose mighty and purifying waters he would swim all his life. And now, so to speak, the ship lost its captain. You don't have that person who is able to swim throughout the Yam HaTalmud in the way that Rabbi Chaim did. Just want to mention just a small incident, and that is that quite a number of legends spread after he was Nifter, Rabbi Chaim, and which actually testified to the tremendous exalted position, you know, that he was held in the eyes of the Dor. So according to one particular incident, one tradition says that Rabbi Chaim went Hagbe, right, lifts the Sefer Torah, and when he went Hagbe, the Sefer Torah slipped from his hand. That's one tradition. The other tradition is not that the Sefer Torah slipped from his hand, but there's another tradition. That was, by the way, that was the last year of his life. But another tradition, it was the handle, which the Eitz Chaim of the Sefer Torah actually cracked. Whichever legend is true, but when that happened, Rabbi Chaim said that's a simon, that's the last year of his life. And Kachav, that's what it was. Either the Sefer Torah slips, or the Eitz Chaim cracked, whichever might have happened of the two. But Rabbi Chaim responded to that incident and said that he takes that as the sign of the Shemayim, that would be the end of his life, and the way he predicted it. There was a great goyim by the name of Reb David, who was the Av Bez of Nevardik, early Nevardik. The Av Nevardik, so he calculated, listen to this, he calculated, it's a half of a fella. He calculated that Reb Chaim, who passed away on Yudalat Sivan, like we're talking about, passed away on Yudalat Sivan, by the way, it's 1821. That was the Tovkuf Pei Aleph. That was the year of the Patira. So he calculated it was exactly 72 years from Reb Chaim's bris. It was exactly to the day. It was exactly 72 years to the day of Reb Chaim's bris. Which, what's the significance of that? He interpreted because the Pasuk in Mishpatim, Pasuk Mishpatim says, the Pasuk says there, regarding Moshe Rabbeinu there, says, "As mispa yomecho amale, I will fulfill your days completely." What the Gemara says means that tzaddikim live, right, from the day that they were born, right, they die about the same day. So some tzaddikim say it doesn't have to be exactly the same day, but it's close to the same day. As mispa yomecho amale, I will fill your days completely. As mispa yomecho amale. So, said this, when David said the following. Though the Pasuk is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu died 120 years from the day of his birth. For him it was 120 days from the day of his birth. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was already born complete, because there was already gemalah at the time of his birth. However, he says, a normal person only becomes complete by virtue of his bris. So the word amale is gematria 72, the age of Reb Chaim's patira, from the day of his bris. From the day that you're complete, that's your day of your birth. The day of your bris is that's the day that you become complete. This Bimech Amale, 72 years. This is what this Reb David wrote, like I mentioned, the Abezin. And the sense of loss of his passing was made even more acute by the fact that once he was Nifter, more Gzeiris of the Russian Tsar, immediately following Reb Chaim's Patiri. Mamish immediately following. And the need to deal with pressing communal matters and to travel frequently to the seat of the government in St. Petersburg, right? As we saw, that's, by the way, Reb Isla had to take that over. And that was one of the reasons we mentioned why the publishing of Nefesh HaChaim was delayed. In spite of the fact that Reb Chaim might insist that it should be published as soon as possible, but all the tears that fell pushed on him, because succeeding his father, it was actually delayed. He could not publish the Nefesh HaChaim right away. Right? And Amela, Reb David Tevel, graduated today in Daf Yom Yishuv, we mentioned the Nachlas David, one of the great Goyim, Talmidim of Reb Chaim Volozhin. So the Nachlas David, Reb David Tevel, he writes the following. Reb Chaim was alive. Reb David Tevel was one of the greatest Talmidim, said, "We always had someone to advise us and to annul all the terrible decrees." He had a koyach. He had a koyach to be mavato all the terrible gzeiros, the designs of informers, evil plots. Now that he's gone, he said, "We are trapped." This is Reb David Tevel pointed out. Just want to mention that there was an impressive matseva. An impressive matseva was built over Reb Chaim's grave, and it was fashioned from the same white stone. There was a count, interesting, a non-Jew, a count by the name of Graf Tishkovitz, He's something he owned like 82 villages and forests and so on and so forth. Tremendous. And he supported the yeshiva simply because whenever he had a problem, he heard about the greatness of this Jewish rabbi. And whenever Chaim would advise him, he would be matliach. So he was a major, major supporter of the yeshiva. So it's interesting to point out that Reb Chaim was pointed out, and the Chofetz Chaim used to repeat that, that when a person goes up to Shemaim and he's being judged by the Bezdin Shomalo, who sits in the Bezdin? Who sits in the Bezdin? Who's sitting there? It's called the Bezdin Shomalo. Reb Chaim says the Bezdin are made up of the Gedol Yisrael of your time. In other words, in the year Tov Shina involved, whoever passes away Tov Shina involved, so whoever the Gedolim that lived in that Tkufa, in our Tkufa, because they understand the weakness of the door, they understand the challenges, so they have a different outlook in how to Paskin regarding the situation. The Gedolim of yesteryear, going back hundreds of years, they're not privy to the challenges of the time now, and therefore they may not really understand and give credit right to the challenges that people have, because it's a different era. So the Gedolim Yisrael of their particular time, that they are the ones. Reb Chaim pointed that out, and he said that the judges of any door is composed of the recently departed leaders of the generation. Those are the Bezdin Shomalo. Why? Because they themselves also have experiences of the test and the various temptations, that they are best therefore suited to judge. They're best suited to judge, he says, the contemporaries. So interesting, Mais is told about a businessman. A businessman once approached Reb Chaim at Reb Drosher, which Reb Chaim mentioned that idea. So he comes up to Reb Chaim with an offer, right? He comes up to Reb Chaim with an offer to give Reb Chaim, give Reb Chaim 100 rubles. Because the cheshbon is that this should be a bribe, and the next day when Reb Chaim will be in the Bezdin Shomalo, should be able to judge him favorably. He thought, he says, that if you're giving a bribe now for oil mabor, listen, you bribe money and you give it for tzedakah, you think that you can bribe with tzedakah. Because Bracha doesn't take any bribes either. But he figured, listen, Reb Chaim is going to be my judge. He said, so you know what, let me bribe him now. Let me give him. I'll give him money to give him to tzedakah. He said, that's the situation. In any case, whenever there was sorrows in the community time, the frequent visitors would always go to the grave of Reb Chaim. The Netziv later on, of course, the Netziv of Elojan, who was the Edom of Reb Itzel, the Netziv, the great Netziv, succeeded, you know, to be Rosh Yeshiva of Elojan. He would always visit the grave of Reb Chaim in times of need. And Shemishkop was the Talmud of Elojan. Right? Shemishkop was the Talmud of Elojan. He once approached the Netziv with a very difficult interpretation of a certain Rashbam on Bava Basra. He didn't understand it. Shimon, the great Rav Shimon. So he approached the Netziv. He says, I have a difficult understanding of Rashbam. The Netziv advised him, go daven at the cave of Reb Chaim Volozhin. Go down to the cave of Reb Chaim Volozhin, and Reb Shimon would frequently repeat, and he said, you have no idea how many times, he says, I prostrated myself, he says. I stretched myself out on the grave of Reb Chaim, so that I should have the schus to understand the words of this Rashbam. I tried a few times, and ultimately, this is the Kolos Rabbi Yisai, a little bit of a synopsis of Reb Chaim Volozhin. So today's the Yortzeit, we said, so, schus yogin aleinu, I'll call Yisrael. All right, we go here to the Ruach Chaim. It's Daf Nun Beis, a new edition. It's in Daf Nun Beis. It's Daf Nun Beis, it's on the famous words of Hillel. We all know that. Hu hayomer, imein ani li mili. If I'm not for myself, who will be for myself? Shani Yatsmi, and if I'm only for myself, Moani, what am I? And then he said, if I don't do it right now, when will it happen? In other words, do not delay, do not procrastinate. Whatever you have to do, make sure that you do it now. Don't wait till tomorrow. So Reb Chaim goes on, and he has, again, every word of the Mishnah can be interpreted so many different ways, every idea is of the Mishnah. And he says as follows, Hu Hayomer, Kel would say, Men Anili Mili. So Reb Chaim says a number of interpretations. The first one is, Kihina Yetzirah says, Mesameis Eine Rodov. The Yetzirah really blinds a person, Beyomra Elof. The Yetzirah says to the man, Tomit, always it comes over, Eich Ef Shalach Lasik B'Torah. How do you have How do you expect to have any time to set time for learning Torah, after all? After all, a person is forced to engage in panosa. The fan is ishtacho b'nei beis chaktanim. You have a wife and children, right? So it's hard if it's trying to tell them that b'shumayfen, you have no time, that you have no time to set aside for learning Torah. Especially, says the HR, the time that we're living in, right? It's a recession, it's inflation, panosa is difficult. So you need, you have to work all the extra hours, even more overtime, more and more. Uma gam biti malolo, especially in our time, the Yitzhar tries to persuade him. Sha'ola panosa, he says, it's called that meroyed, it's so difficult. Ve'en loch yoyim, he says, v'chuli, it's a gemara, ein loch yoyim shen kulolosim roba machaveri. Every day seems to be more challenging than the day before. The Yitzhar comes and tells them, you in your condition, you can't afford to set time for any Eisik B'Torah, because you need the time for Panosa. You need the time for Panosa. Al Be'emes says Rav Chaim, Hu Ach Atzas HaYetzer Hora Amesamen. This is clear, this is the Eitzer. This is the Eitzer, the Eitzer tries to blind you. V'chei Omro, Rav Esenu, the Chorin of Rocha. After all, first of all, Chazal told the Mesach is needed. Shekoidim Yetzirus Avlad, which means right at the time of conception. Right at the time of conception, before the vlad is even fully formed. Either Osher or Yoni. In other words, by conception already, it's already predestined, like what this fetus will be. And besides the fact, we know that every Rosh Hashanah really evaluates the situation. The Gemara says, the panos of a person, it's fixed from Rosh Hashanah. Which means that if your panos is fixed, it means no matter what you're going to try, you're not going to have a penny more than what is and has been predetermined. Nimso, im kol yigi yosef, with all the effort, lo yagia loy me'uma yosef mimashi niksav, you're not going to have more that has been set aside for you. And Amela, that which is set aside for you, you can have even with living a normal life, without going over, without bending over backwards. Vezeo yochel hasigab b'matomel, even right, even with limited amelus. So panosa is not depend, does not go according to the amelus, according to the yigia. Why? Because panosa is something that's fixed. Torah, on the other hand, Torah is not predestined. You will only have as much as how much effort you put in. Panosa is not dependent on the effort. Panosa is dependent on mizanoyis of shalom kesuvim loy, and therefore, if you deserve it, you'll have it, and whatever was determined. And then all the extra yigia, he says, will not do it. The person sometimes sets himself off. Right? Let's say he happened to be, what he calls it, right? A stroke of luck. And he happened, let's say, to happen to close a tremendously large deal. But if it's not destined for him to have more, you know what's going to happen? His oil burner might break down. You know, his car might break down. There might be doctor bills. So what he earned from this side, he's going to lose it from the other side. At the end of the day, he's not going to have more than he's supposed to have. So Amela said, the success of Panosa is not a direct result of the Yigiyah. But Torah is. Torah is. The more you put it, the less you put it, the less you're going to have. Torah is dependent according to the effort. The more that you put in effort, Yosef does. You're going to have more knowledge. So now, so Reb Chaim says, this Ashkofa, he reads into the words of Hillel. This is now the interpretation that Reb Chaim says on Hillel. Let's see how it fits into words. Now, according to this interpretation, Hillel is talking about Eisek HaTorah. He's talking about setting time for learning. So this is what Hillel is now saying, Eisek HaTorah. Torah is not given by Matona. If I am not for myself, meaning it, if I will not put in the effort, I will not have it. When it comes to Torah, again, im ein ani li, if I don't put in the effort in learning, it won't happen. It's not predestined, you can have it anyway. No. Torah is totally according to the Yigiyah. When it comes, binyono elam hazeh, kshani li yatsmi, if I think I can do it, then mo ani, you're not going to have. But elam is the other way around. But Torah, it is dependent on you. Kshani li yatsmi, but it comes to yono elam hazeh, and I say, oh, it's up to me. It's up to me. 10 hours, 12 hours, 15 hours, it's up to me. If you think it's up to you, mo'ani. Because the achba shem yizborach techolti v'sovri. Because only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my hope and my aspiration. When it comes to yonim of olam hazeh. In other words, many, many years we had Rav Nosson Kishtetner, Zichron Avrochem, used to come have a parlor meeting in one of the private houses here. It says, over and over again, we talk about amelus b'toyre, amelus b'toyre. But Pernos, it also says, b'zeh asapecho toych alechem. Right? By the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat bread. Right? By the sweat of your brow. So he said like this. By panosa, yes, you have to sweat. But the result, the measure of atzloch is not a direct consequence of how much effort you put in. In other words, yes, you can have to sweat. But the atzloch is not a direct result. But by Torah, it's not like that. By Torah, the atzloch is a direct result of your yegiah. Torah is a direct result of your yegiah. So that's one shot that Rav Chaim says. He says another thing. He says, "Gehine b'shloisha devarim." There are three things. Choluk esek atoyer vayira mischa elamaze. There's three areas. The three areas where there is clearly right. There's clearly a hevdel. Because there's a distinction between Torah and Yerushalayim and Isakim of elamaze. Aleph, number one. Ki esek atoyer vayira mutelas al odom. Regarding right Torah mitzvahs, that's dependent on you. Hashem shows oiz me'imo. In Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is requesting that you put in the koyach. Like we mentioned before. Mashiach cannot pronounce it, that's not really dependent on you. Yes, the Torah says, B'zeis ha'pecho toich lehem. I have to do ishtadlis, no question. Im omnam nitztavinu, it's true that we are commanded, right? Lehenois migia kapenu. We were commanded to enjoy the fruits of our labor. However, at the end of the day, how much the labor is going to grant you, that Yeshua is dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After all the effort, after all the yigiyah kapo, it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tachbulos and all the extra shtadlis, yiseiros, lo ya'ilu, lo yatzlichu. So, v'lom lo yodam l'samil. So why would a person have to exert yourself? Why do you have to overwork yourself? B'yoseh, ma shebiyad Hashem los is b'li yomel. Only ma shebiyad imut ol. Because Baruch Hu can give him, you know, with less amelos also. That's number one chiluk. But Torah is not like that. Torah is you have to put in more, because only if you put in more, you'll have more. If you put in less, you're going to have less. By yonim v'olim hazeh, when it comes to yonim, material aspirations, they're really just overworking yourself more and more and more will not dafke give you more. It's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give you, which is predestined. Base. And really, he says another nekuda. Ki b'yonim v'olim hazeh, le yosef adeh amoloi, right, kirav, as much as effort he puts in, ala kosev. If you want any more, that's fixed. Let's mention. Now, avloikim b'toyer. B'toyer is another thing. B'toyer are two things. First of all, you put in your effort, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in and helps you. Now, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to must be a b'toyer. So b'toyer, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that you're trying hard, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu jumps in, and he helps you. At the end of the day, the schar that you get is if you did it all by yourself. That's the chiddush. You know, you didn't do it by yourself. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu jumped in to help you. But that's the Chiddush. By Torah, if you put in your effort as much as you can, right? So when you do as much as you can, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, now I'm going to help you to push you over the top. And when it comes to receiving reward, I'm not going to subtract my chelik what I helped you. No. I'm going to give you the full reward. He says, by Torah, top all the time, Messiah Noisoi. A person who wants to purify himself, Messiah Noisoi, Meneshemaim to help him. But nevertheless, he gets his schar complete. As the Gemara says in Sukkah, Daphne Beis. Sorry for Rosh al Tzaddik. The Rosh is always stalking the Tzaddik to make the Tzaddik slip. And the Gemara says, the Tzaddik would not be able to totally to be overpower the Yetzirah. The Russian means the Yetzirah. So the fact is that at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's helping you. And yet, in the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helping you, he's not subtracting that from your schar. Because you tried and you did as much as you can, you get the full schar for the total completion. In the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who must help you. So Bemesis is brought down take in the Sfor Magdoshim, said in the name of the Lord Shem Tov, when the Pasuk says in Tehillim, L'cho Hashem HaChosed, right? Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? Kodesh Baruch Hu is so gracious. Ki ato tishalom lish kemaseyu. Kodesh Baruch Hu pays the person according to what he did. Why did a chesed? If he pays you according to what you did, well, every employer pays, right? Every employer pays the employee according to what he did. So Kodesh Baruch Hu only pays according to what you did. That's no. Because even what you didn't really do it on your own. In other words, what you did is really with the aid of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu l'chashem chosev, what's the chosev? Ki ato tishalom li, she pays, kim maseo, as if he did it. You didn't do it, Kodesh Baruch Hu did it. Kibara did it. And without a Kibara, could not complete it. You would not be successful. But the chesed, l'choy Hashem ha-chosed, the chosed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, ki ato tishalem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tais, kem ma'aseu, as if you had done it all by yourself. And that's what Reb Chaim is saying over here. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ma'aseh, is helping him, is that Shukosu, and Pozikaz, Hashem lo yazrenu b'yodoy. The Rosh, I mean, the Yetzirah is talking to Tzadik all the time, does not give him a moment's rest, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not let the Tzadik, will not abandon the Tzadik. Right? So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands by the side of the Tzadik. Mekom okoim, b'roiv chasod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his roiv chesed, leis ha-mishpat, when it comes to time of reckoning, time of judgment, choshev lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Consists, ki iru odem b'yatzma yosu kol ha-maise, b'zeh shekosev, and that's what the other posik says, b'lo yashiyenu b'shofta, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not indict the Tzadik when it comes to judgment. He will not indict him, say, hey, you didn't do it, I did it for you. And therefore you should get much less. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not indict the Tzadik. In other words, the Tzadik did as much as he can, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the rest, and gives all the credit to the Tzadik. The Tzadik is all the Tzadik. There is another situation. Oh, so he says over here, Gimel, third thing. Esek Roilom, when it comes to dealing in worldly matters, Yim lo yasek ben mayoim. Right? If you don't do it today, you can do it tomorrow. Look, if you didn't sign the closing today, sign it tomorrow. It'll still be a day later. Mabikach. Mabikach, I mean, unless the guy backs down. But I can tell him. The pshat is, right? If it happens tomorrow, what did you lose? You lost one day. Mabikach. So he says, when it comes to Yonah Oilom Azeim, lo yasek ben mayoim, Yim tzayim lemokor. Ba'avodis Hashem is nashayach. If you lost today, you can't be mashum tomorrow. Because tomorrow, you need it for tomorrow's day. The avodis Hashem of tomorrow is for tomorrow. So you can't make up for yesterday. Because yesterday is lost. Because when you're doing it tomorrow, tomorrow needs tomorrow's avodis Hashem. Then you can't do it backwards. So by comes avodis Hashem, you cannot be mashlim it. Right? Mashenkim avodis Hashem lo yashlim b'yomacha. You cannot. We cannot substitute it by the second day. Right? The chayvus hayoyim. Halavai, we should be able to do every day what needs for the day. Halavai v'ayoyim b'yoyimoy. V'im yosach chayvus hayoyim. And if you're zoche, you fulfill the day's obligation. Givaldik. If you're able to fulfill your day's obligation. He says, Ashrei loy. So therefore he says, Lozoy somar. Therefore he says this, Imeina nili mili. Oh, when it comes to ruchnius, it's all up to me. If I don't do it, it's not going to happen. If I don't do it today, I can never make it up. Imeina nili min beis kishmai mili. Kirak biyodi v'loi b'dei shamayim. Beis. Then he says, Uchshani li atzmi moani. But yet, if I try myself, I can't do it either. I need a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So in other words, I have to do what I have to do, because if I don't do it, if I don't do it, it's not going to happen. But even if I do it, I still need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help me. Therefore, Shani Lee asked me, but if I think I'm myself, no, money. Because you need, with all my doing, I still need HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. For not Salomer. He shouldn't say antin imkain. Okay, so first I'll say like this. First we'll sit back and we'll say, being that I need the aid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so why do I have to start? Let me wait till HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends me his koyach, his effort. So no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not help you until you do your chelik first. You cannot say, being that it anyway has to be done through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't do it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it for me. No, it's not going to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will only do the chelik, right? But your koyach ends. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins. Well, Yoyma, a person shouldn't say, Amtir Mikain Achi Yisaruni Meshamayim. Let me wait till HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps me. I don't have to start. Kiascholo, he says, on them sorech shiim odom v'atzmoi. Kiascholo, you have to do yourself. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps you. Kiascholo, you have to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only helps you after the Ascholo. According to the extent of your effort, in other words, the extent of how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help you, or how much you tried yourself. The more that you tried yourself, so that also. The extent of how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help you depends on how much you try yourself. The more you try yourself, you'll be zoche to more help. The less you try yourself, the less help. So all goes one to one to one. As he says, Ukamama Chachomenu Zechorin Lerova, Habol Etayer. You have to do it first. You have to come, right? You have to come to be Matayer yourself. You have to come to try to purify yourself. Messiah Noisoy. Rosalimer. Davkim Bob Etchila. Davk, if you come first, right? Kuniskalel. Vizeshomar. Imena Nili. Meaning, if I don't start, Kribach is not going to say, okay, I'm going to push you, I'm going to start you. No. You have to start. Imena Nili, Imenani, Emasil Mili. Then who can do it? But if I'm left alone, Cholila, it will not happen either. Because I need the aid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kshani Latsmi Cholila, B'leyezeh Mashem Moani. And Vim Lo Yachshav. And if I say, okay, I'll start tomorrow. I said before, you can't make up. Rabbi Hashem, you can't make up tomorrow. Because tomorrow you need for tomorrow's day. Tomorrow cannot compensate for today. So each day is on its own, and that's for every day, right? Is your chiv to try to fulfill the chayva of that particular day. Okay, so this is what Chaim's two interpretations. Let's take a look at some fascinating we have on the sheet over here, Rabbi Sai. Let's take a look. Okay, we'll do as much as we can over here. First of all, you see, number one, we mentioned a while back that unfortunately many of the Ksovim and the Chaim wrote Shalos Yeshuvos all over because the Shalos from all over came to him, but unfortunately there was a Sreifa which burnt really many or most of his Ksovim were burnt. But we have, as we said, we have Nefesh HaChaim, we have Ruach HaChaim, but in terms of the world of Shalos Yeshuvos, Yeshuvos Na'alocha, we hardly have very little. That which we have is a Sefer called Chutam Shulish. So, in the Sefer Chutam Shulish, in this particular Shaila, we have a few lines here, Simaches, we have the Shaila of an Aguna Shaila. And the Odom Godel, who wrote to Rav Chaim regarding the question of Aguna, happened to be leaning to be Machmer, that the Aguna cannot get married. And Rav Chaim writes to him, before I was appointed to Paskin Aguna Shailas, I had a tendency like you always to find Chumras. But unfortunately, he says, no Godel wants to Paskin Agunas without consulting me. So he says, reluctantly, it fell on my shoulders. So now that it's on my shoulders, I bend over backwards to find the Kula, to be able to be Matur the Aguna. Yuri says, Rav Chaim writes to that Godel, Yuri says, you are writing it, you know, just as an academic exercise. Yeah, so you're leaning to be Machmer. Before it was my obligation, right, to be Matur the Aguna, as also I always found leanings to be Machmer. But now he says, I'm the one who they rely on to find the heter. I try everything. Look, we'll hear the words here. It shows what Reb Chaim, he was given the authority to Paskin Aguna. You see a few lines here. It's number one, the first item. Shal Sishuz Chutam Shulish Semeches. Ela Shekvaita Rosa Roma. It's in the middle of Spamish at the end of the Tshuva. Kvaita Rosa means you, Noite La Chumra. You know why you are Machmer, Reb Chaim writes to that Godel? Machmashena Dova Mutlolov. Because you don't carry the Achrayas to actually be Matur the Aguna. Vafani Komoyu, Reb Chaim says. I see the Anivis of Reb Chaim. I would be no different than you. Vafani Komoyu says, Loi Ponisi al Sedode Haheterim. I was not looking to the different Sedodim of the Heter. That one can find, right, if you're really being ma'ayin. Terem, before the oil ha'iroa, right, fell on me, I was like you. I was not looking, right, I was not looking to try to find a heter. I was easier to find a chumrah. If a chumrah came my way, I wasn't trying to find to dispel that chumrah. I was like you, he says, before the oil of ha'iroa came on me, that I have the chrayas. The hein ato, look what he writes, it's our insane rabbin. Is the fact that I'm the God of Hador today, he says, that shows you how the Yerid of the door. If it's not Gedolim, that they have to pick me. Look what he says. The Hein Ato Shevoi Niseinu Rabim, Bisvivo Yiseinu, Nisyasim Hador Mechachomim. We are Yisoyimim from Chachomim. We are Yisoyim Mechachomim. We are orphans. We have no Chachomim. Nisyasim, he says, Mechachomim, the Ha'olu Al Tzavori, and therefore, they put over me, Oil Haroi, they gave me the obligation, I have to be the one who paskins. I have to be the one that rules. B'chol HaSviva, She'eino matirim bishum oifen bilti askomes dat yakali. See, right? None of them would ever paskin a shaila, a serious shaila, without consulting me. So fell on my shoulders. So for chishavtim koini, so make a chesh with a kori baruch hu, I have a chreis. It's not, as they say, it's not a kunst to be machmer, he says. And it's an achrayis, a responsibility to be machmer. If you could have found the kula, to be machmer, you're going to have to answer to Kori Baruch Hu. For Yisi Choy Veleatzmi, I saw an obligation for his chazeg b'chol koichi. I had to put in all my effort. Lishkoid al tekonas agunas, to try to find the heter to be misakin dagunas. Hashem Yisborach Yatzilenu Mishgiyas, Kori Baruch Hu should save me from making mistakes. Because I try as much as possible to find the heter. Here's like Reb Chaim. So before we go further, so I want to show you, Reb Chaim was the Rav of Elozhin. A Rav would always sign Av Bezin, right? The Av Bezin, whatever the town is, right? In addition to that, not only is Av Bezin, not only was the Av Bezin of Elozhin, he was the Ram, right? Through the Rosh Yeshiva of Elojin. You know how he signed? Chaim Elojin Hamalamed Elojin, who is a Malamed in Elojin. Where's that? Look at number 4. Look to the left on the top. Number 4. Niflo Letzayin, Shebechol Teshuvayisov, and all the Chuvis of Mechtovov, Lo Yechosam Shemoy Betur of Bezen Veram Bevelojin. He would not sign his title. Kim Shemoy, only his name, Shemoviv, his father's name, he would write, Chaim Ben, Rabbi Yitzchok, V'Shem Yiroi, Velojin, B'Tshuva Achas Choysemu, and in one Tshuva he signs, Chaim Ben Moreinu Rabbi Yitzchok, HaMelamed Bezez Hashem Yizbar B'Velojin. Here you have it right underneath, T'Shal Zeshur Zchut HaMishul Shemen Hei, Neum, Chaim Ben Moreinu Rabbi Yitzchok, HaMelamed Bezez Hashem Yizbar B'Velojin. That is the sign. So this Malamed, you know, was the Gor Lador, where nobody wanted a Paskin without seeking his opinion. But he himself, he writes, I'm a Malamed in the Lojin, that's all I am. I'm a Malamed, it's Binach. So we're going to work backwards in the order that I feel is important. Then we'll go on the sheet to see. So go to number 3 on the right side, the lower. Seven called Aviha Yeshivas. Aviha Yeshivas. And this, you'll see, maybe you heard of this prediction, maybe you heard of it, because it's Mefursim by all the great free Rosh Yeshivas after World War II. Now listen to this. Maisa Shoya Kachoye. Maisa Shoya Kachoye. The Maisa was like this. Boiker Echor, it was one morning. The Mahalach Tfilis HaShachar was davening Shubi Yeshiva. Once, right, during the davening of Shachris in Yeshiva's Velojin, Poras Reb Chaim Lepesa Bebchi Mar Venugash. He broke out into tears. He broke out into sobbing. He was sobbing. Call Remes or Simon Lesiba Logil, but he did not reveal the Remes, the Siba. Not in Brumiza. He did not indicate any reason why, what's causing, why is he holding up, why is he breaking out and why is he crying? Why is he weeping? He did not indicate any reason for that. Papanei Talmidim Hamuvolim, you can imagine Talmidim were mamish, were frightened. Talmidim were frightened, the students were frightened. Right? Hishtaru and Mabuka Koshu, they were like confused. A few moments passed. Then another wave of tears. Another wave of tears. Shoytif Hesenov, right? Literally flooding his tears, his eyes. Not only that, but now also he was crying with a voice. Now, some of that person cries, but you don't hear it from the voice, you see by the eyes. But here really he was crying with a coil. The coilois, his yapchois, the sooras anefesh. You can see that mamish, he was in turmoil. Shuv, right? Hatamidim, the Tamidim Shekiru v'yodus Rabban, Tamidim who knew their Rebbe, Choshu v'vinu al nocha, they realized there's something very serious, and you want to find out what is it. Go to the next paragraph. Imtayim atfila, it's a fascinating thing what happened here. At the end of davening, kishenichlas l'cheira proti, when Reb Chaim went to his private room, he had a private room there in the yeshiva, it's after davening, but if you know Reb Moshe, Tres Shlaim, had his private room. He had a private room there. You might be able to see him. He wanted to talk to him. When he put his film away or something like that, you see him there in the private room there. So, okay, when he went to his private room, as he did every day, after Shacharis, he went first to his private room, B'chaim. Shigru b'nei yeshivas tamid, he figured, the only one, right, who can ask Reb Chaim why he's crying, to bring his top Talmud. Again, we mentioned a moment ago, that's Reb Dovid Tevel, the Nachlas Dovid. Nachlas Dovid is one of the greatest goyim, of the goyim, but the greatest Talmidim of Reb Chaim. They can send him, he's offering the Rebbe, he should ask the Rebbe, he says, what's the seed of all this crying about? So they sent, they figured to send Shigru b'nei yeshivas Talmidoi Reb Dovid Tevel, Balo Nachlas Dovid, right? Mekurvoi HaNemon was very close to Reb Chaim. V'tilu all of the Doivavoi, the Dallas, Memeno, Ma Pesha, Habachias. So what's going on over here? To find out what's behind all of this crying, all of this sobbing. So Bechadras Kodesh says, you know, with a Chalikoi, we should be going really with a sense of awe. Reb Dovid enters the room of Reb Chaim with a sense of awe. Nechnes Halo El Traklinoi Rosh Yeshiva, goes into the house of the Rosh Yeshiva. V'torchu Boideris Miloisov. Right, b'kfeide heiris ozna rabbi, ki hu hanemisov achredim lesibes his passes. He wants to find out. He and his friends are really want to know what's going on. Reb Chaim, who Chila did not want to really reveal it, so he says, you know what? He says, being that it happened in public, couldn't contain himself to cry. So it means he owes an answer to tell them what the sibes of his crying was. And he says the following. Go to the next paragraph. He said, being it's a simon, he said, being that it happened, I couldn't contain myself, and everybody's aware of it, so I have to reveal what's in my heart. Da b'ni, this is what Reb Chaim is saying. I wanted to know, locha shu Rosh Yeshiva beretet, right, was sort of like a tremble. Ki yoim yovoi. He's predicting. Listen, Rabbi Yisai. This is a nevuah. It's a prophecy. Reb Chaim Vilo talking about 1821. He's telling you what's going to happen in the future. Ki yoim yovoi. I see what's going to happen in the future. Going to come a day. Vayanu amos asifim shal yahadus Europa. I see that Europe is going to be destroyed. Predicting a Holocaust. Look what he's saying. 1821. More than 100 years earlier. 1821 was Nifter. This is even before than that. So he says, there's going to come, he said, that Mamish, he said, that the pillars of Jewish Europe is going to be destroyed. All the Jewish institutions, Yechrufu, will become destroyed. There'll be uprooted. All the yeshivas, all the Batei Knesset, all the schools. Jewish Europe will be destroyed. Ulam, listen to prediction. Soifoi shel dover, they will rise up again in America. They'll rise up again in America. Yehuda Chaim, seen that in the 1800s? That's why he was crying. Because he saw it. He predicted the Churban. He saw it was going to happen. It's going to happen in America. America, he said, will be the last journey where the Jewish people will be before Golus. Besides Eretz Yisrael, of course. But in terms of Chutz La'aretz, this will be. People were in France, people lived in, but the major Jewish communities of all of Europe, where they resettle, America. It's not going to go further from here. Chaim predicted that this will be the last station. The letzte stanzia, as he said. So the last station will be Golus America. Hamasa ha'achrin shalom Yisrael koidem ha'geula. Because the Gemara tells us also that the Shechina, which means the Sanhedrin also, had to go in Golus to 10 places. So he says, Asora Golus, Hosea Torah, Srichali Golus, also the Torah had to go to 10 different places. 10 different places, Aragula. How? First from Eretz Yisrael went to Babel. Reishis, Golus to Babel. Achrel, it's Southern Africa, North Africa. Tremendous major Jewish community. Rachaim HaKodesh was from North Africa, by the way. And Mitzrayim, Italia, Sfarad, Spain, Sfarad, France, Balotoises in France, Balotoises in Spain, Ashkenaz, Germany, Balotoises in Germany, Poland, Valita. No, that's now in the past. America's Akron, the last center, will be for Torah. Who, by the way, who had this Messiah from Rav Chaim? Look in the bottom, Rav David Lipschitz. Rav David Lipschitz? Mipi Hagoyin Rav David Lipschitz, New York. When did Rav David Lipschitz say that? When it was Masvid Rav Ruderman. Mipi Hagoyin Rav David Lipschitz Shlita. He was alive. We quoted him. He was still alive. The Hesped Hagoyin Rav Yankiv Yitzchak Ruderman was Chodesh Av Tovshin Mem Zayin, 1987. 1987. Yerushalayim. The Hesped was in Yerushalayim. And then the Shuvi said Besich Romanu. Then later on, David Lipschitz, he spoke with us. Hosef Shekin Shoma beVilna. David Lipschitz said, "I heard this in Vilna." He says, "When the Second World War broke up, so we're talking about it. I heard this in Vilna. Bepreis Melchem Esoyel Mashniya. Who'd I hear it from? The Gedolei Rosh Yeshivas." From the Gedolei Rosh Yeshiva, she scapped to Shoma, because everybody ran together in one place, because they were fleeing from all Bekoimis. They came to Vilna. That's why they came to America. What brought them all to America? All the Rosh Yeshiva decided to come to America. Some will say maybe it was convenience, it was a good idea. That is Kabbalah from Rav Chaim. That's Kabbalah from Chaim Volozhin, that Torah is going to, the last station of Torah is going to be here. Now look further. Gam Nevuazu. This prophecy shall Agoyin Rav Chaim also saw Lord Kunafayim. It took like wings, it took its own life. Ben Agdoilim Habe Beschus Agoyin Rav Chaim Oizer. Rav Chaim Oizer is one of those who basically was mefarsim these words of Rav Chaim Volozhin. Rav Chaim Oizer was one of those who was mefarsim who made it public. But Rav Chaim Volozhin said regarding that America will be the last station. Echod Mehem Agoyin Rav Rami Yafin. Rabbi Avraham Yafin, Sipper, Kibetam Yotzes Vilna Latsa Briz, before he left Vilna to come to America, Omar Rabbi Chaim Oizer, here it is, Avraham Yafin heard it directly from Chaim Oizer. Karavin Italia, Rabbi Chaim Oizer said, when I was a young boy, he's quoting Rabbi Chaim Oizer. Chaim Oizer says, Karavin Italia, Shomati Mishmoy Shlagoyim Chaim Velojin, Shomar Oy Biyomov. In his time he said it. Asida Toyos Galgal America. Okay? So here he is here. But from Yafin heard from Chaim Oizer. Now, who is the Chaim Oizer's brother-in-law? The Bechon of Asaman. Not bad. So Gisoy is Chaim Oizer. Hagoyim Bechon of Asaman. when he was fleeing from Branovich because of the Tsaris. So as he was fleeing from Branovich, and he was wandering in Bnei Yeshiva. We're talking now Bereishis Shnas Tovshin, the beginning of 1940. Okay, B'chon Avasaman, fleeing, wandering. So what did he do? As they were fleeing, Rabbi Chanan, the great Rabbi Chanan, the great Baal B'tochim, we always give Musar, not Musar, we give Koyar Chim. I say, yeah, Musar, Musar of Chizik, Musar of B'tochim. Where is the B'tochim and Chizuk? So it would be Noag Lashmiah Devra Chizik, Livnei Levi Yosef, to the people that were with him. B'miyuchid, Higdish, Lekach, Devarim, B'Shabeshuve. This Shabeshuve, that year, would give Devra Chizik of all the Tzores to keep your B'tochim, to keep your faith. The whole Shabbos he spoke to them that you have to hope for Yeshua Gedolah. Yid has to hope. The Mahalach Sichas Kodesh Eilu, while among the different things that Rochana spoke about, his Kirat Hu, the Rochana also mentioned as Divrei Hagoyin Reb Chaim Volozhin Asida Torish Discal to America. Kama Goyer Ban Kotler, what brought him to America? Kamagoyer by Kotel Oz Rosh Yeshivas Kletsk, the Yomim Rosh Yeshivas Lakewood by America, Paul Api Oysenavur. That's what it was. This is where we are, Rabbi Sai. So does not leave us any more time, but I'm just telling you we have a copy of number 6. You can see there's a copy of the Kvura, the Matzevis Kvura of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. It's extant. We have the whole Nusach, which is over here. And it's interesting, what's written on the Matzev, look at number 6, all the way in the bottom. It didn't say the year, it said a Gematria. It says Shnas. By the way, the whole Matzeva on the right side, it says Chaim. It's an acrostic. It says Chaim ben Yitzchok Zal. You see, that's how the Psukim go on the right side. And the left side, every Posuk ends with the word Chaim. Every Posuk ends with the word Chaim. And Shnas, what year is that? There's a Posuk in Yeshaya, Kapitel Dalet. Kolakosov L'Chaim. Kolakosov L'Chaim basically means everyone who's inscribed for life. Again, it's a play on Chaim, Reb Chaim Volozhin. The gematria of Kolakosov L'Chaim is 1821. Shnas Kolakosov L'Chaim. Chusi Yogan Lein Rabbi Yisai. So let me just say like this, a concluding Mamish, I have another minute, Mamish. And the Peshat is like this. That at the time of Reb Chaim, there was one of the Gedolei Nadvonim, one of the Gedolei Toimchim, the Yeshiva, supported the Yeshiva, was Nifter. And Reb Chaim had a particularly busy day, that particular day. And in addition to all the things that he was busy with, he also, of course, had to go to Levaya. It was a big gevir, supported the Yeshiva. In addition to going to the Levaya, he also said a Hespit, of course. Reb Chaim's going to say a Hespit. And after the Levaya, Reb Chaim felt, listen, it's only appropriate to learn some Mishnayos for this gevir, to this homes for the Yeshiva. So he went to the Swarm Shrine, took the Mishnayos, and had to take out the Mishnayos of Holy. Some really difficult Mishnayos. Reb Chaim, you call it Torah Kulu. Lamaisa, that's what Bikiregu said, the greater you are, you always have Kasha. Bikiregu said, I am Mekana, said, the Poshto Babatim, they learn Omid Gemara, then nothing is Shmer, they know they're easy. I learn every line with have a Kasha. So Reb Chaim Lodz opened up Mishnayos of Holy, said, take a Shmer Mishnah. He tried to figure out the Pshat of the Mishnah. He had an exhausting day. He falls asleep right on the Mishnayos. While he's falling asleep, the Gevir who died just passed away. Twice, an hour ago, 2 hours ago, comes in a dream, and he said Pshat to Reb Chaim in that Mishnah. And Reb Chaim says, I always knew, but when the Chofetz Chaim quotes it in Shemir Saloshin. Chofetz Chaim quotes, when you're magzik Torah, you not only get schar for limud Torah. About it, it's poshut. If you put the magzik Torah, in the next world, you can have the knowledge of all the Torah that you supported. In other words, whoever was an Amoris, literally, on this world, but you supported Torah, come to the next world, you become a goyin. Become a goyin. Rav Shach once said to a person who was a magzik Torah, he was thinking that maybe you should stop being a magzik Torah. He said to him, listen, Rav Shach said. Rav Shach B'Aniva says, how many masechta did I learn? How many yeshiva? Why did you learn? There's a cycle of the certain masechta that you learn. So I know he said, the 7, 8 masechtas. You're supporting 10 different yeshivas. You're going to know all of Shach. He said, the next one, you know more than me. So Rav Chaim said, I knew, he said, that those who support Torah are going to become Talmid Chachomim. You're able, but I didn't know it happened so fast that right away you're able to learn Pshat in the Mishnah with me. It happened so fast, it didn't take a little time. You just died. So when Rabbi Aaron Kotler once you mention this Maisa, there's a particular Gevir, who said to Reb Chaim, he says, you know, we're supporting yeshivas, and he said to himself, you know, maybe I should learn less. Maybe I should learn less, and because my learning is very limited, how much I learn. Maybe I should learn even less, and spend more time in business to support more Torah. So I'll have even big more Olam Habo, right? I'll have even more, and I'll learn more in the next world. So maybe I should learn less, right? And spend more time working, and I'll have more Olam Habo. The Baron went over and grabbed him by the two lapels and says, you'll have more Olam Habo, but if you stop learning, you won't have Olam Hazeh. The pleasure of Olam Hazeh, this is entire. That's what you're not going to have. The pleasure of Olam Hazeh is not what you're going to have. May have more Olam Habo, he says. But Olam Hazeh is not what you're going to have. So, Rabbi Yisai, so what we're saying like this, summer's here, and people, of course, in the summer are trying to search to find a little bit of Olam Hazeh. Yeah? So let's remember, if you want to have the real Olam Hazeh, so you have to make sure to set time, a little bit of time, at least something for learning. Then you have both. You'll have Sayo Olam Hazeh and Sayo Mabon. So wish everybody a happy and a healthy summer, both spiritually and physically. Mitoich Siyati Dishmaim Ruve. Until next time.